Right.
Okay, are we all set?
I believe so.
Okay, so Bill, do I lead this one or is this something that you lead? Do you know how this one works for?
It's up to you. You're the chairperson. You can delegate me to do that, and I certainly am happy to do so.
Okay, I think I'll help where I can, but I think you have a really good view of where the technology is at in the current state, and I'd like to kind of hear you out on these different agenda items. From the email, I think these items are a great start. I think it'll lay out a good plan for this year, and I'm hoping to kind of have a discussion with Councilman Lavaca and Burns, along with you, to make sure that we're supporting you and that we can kind of bring some of these things to the council if needed.
Awesome. Great. Okay, since let's go ahead and get started then. The meeting's called to order at 5:32 p.m. on Wednesday, the 17th of February. Looks like in attendance, we've got Brendan McGoffin, Chair, Joe Burns. It sounds like Joe's got another guest.
Oh, sorry. I'll mute you.
And Councilman Nick Lavaca. And I think we may have a guest from the public listing.
Okay.
So on to the approval of the agenda. So do we have a motion to approve the agenda as written?
I'll motion to approve the agenda as written.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, all in favor. Let's see. Approval of minutes. There aren't any minutes since this is our very first meeting. So we can skip on to the next item. And that would be the IT director's succession plan. And as for policy, let me just get my notes out here. As for policy, we really don't have anything existing policy-wise for that. I know that the city administrator, Charlie, and Nikki, our city attorney, are working on a kind of a global policy document that will likely be addressing that for all departments. So stay tuned for that. But as for the components of that plan, I'm kind of looking at identifying a key position for succession, which is really easy in the IT department since we're a department of two.
Yeah.
I really kind of had that in mind when we went through the selection process for hiring Woody. And I think with some additional training, he's going to make an outstanding candidate for that. And part of that would be identifying the job requirements and so that we can give them the adequate training and building those competencies and then assessing the progress down the line. I'm just so you all know, I'm probably about less than three and a half years until I retire. So I think this is a great opportunity for me to get the policy in place and the plan and kind of help with that transition to the next leader of the department.
Okay. How much time do you think would be a good recommendation to transfer between the successions?
You mean the time between updating the plan or the time in transitioning the actual person into the position?
I think transitioning the person.
I think a 6-month period is a good plan.
Okay.
We kind of done that in the past for other outfits that I've worked at. And it sure makes things a lot easier if you can just start letting go of things a little earlier and seeing where there might be some holes in the pipe that you need to patch and you know, modify the plan a little bit and go from there.
Okay.
Bill, does the city have a backup plan or, you know, a contractor that we utilize if for some reason, like you're out ill or you, or Woody, anything like that? Is there any kind of, you know, plan for any of that?
We used to have a interlocal agreement with another city at the time, and that just really didn't work out well. I think that the best that we can have is to eventually have an additional staff member. Honestly, there's more than enough work for two people. And I think that at some point, that's the direction that we need to head. That would be my own recommendation. Contract work, yeah, that's a possibility. Although it's hard to bring someone in who isn't there on a day-to-day basis and isn't familiar with our network and our, you know, our culture. Things, just simple things like that, it can be kind of difficult. I don't know, Brendan, have you guys used a lot of contractors other than people who are actually working in the trenches in your outfit?
We use mostly dedicated full-time employees. We will occasionally bring in contractors for specific technologies. For big software implementations or like security assessments, we do contract some of that stuff out. But for the most part, we have everybody on staff.
I think there's more people too. So it's less likely that you would lose 50% of your staff if one person had a broken leg snowboarding or something, right?
So. Yeah, that's true. Bill, other question I had with this, do we have any sort of like wiki or ticketing system that as part of the succession, someone could look in the wiki for things that have been documented? If they're new to the position that they can pick it up and ask a question in the wiki?
We actually started tracking all of our tickets within Outlook and have, you know, searchable folders there for that. The best setup. We looked at some different help desk suites and hardware management suites that were kind of combined, and didn't really find a good fit. And because there are only two of us, some of them, the work involved in just managing them didn't make sense. So. Mm-hmm. To be doing okay with the tickets on the help desk. We started shortly after Woody came on board. I found it was much easier for us to share information on each of the tickets that I pull stuff up.
Okay. And as far as a wiki goes, do we have any like place for documentation that somebody in the future could pick it up and look into like how systems are set up?
Right now, we've just got a folder on our file server that basically talks about a procedure.
Okay, cool.
Do you guys do, I don't even know if it'd be necessary with just the two of you, but screen-o-matic or some sort of screen recording for, you know, tasks that might come up that are a little bit more involved or more difficult?
We do some videos, but mostly screenshots. And I don't want to get too deep into the the weeds of how we're actually accomplishing our jobs. just a kind of a warning. We want to try to focus on the actual policy. And that's something that we do. We do lots of screenshots and documentation that way. Sure. Have a lot more coaching than we do formal training and training around that, but I would like to do more of that.
Okay. So do you feel like we have a good set of components for the succession plan? Do you need more input from us as far as things that we'd like to see?
I think that would be helpful. I mean, try to frame it in the coming from the policy perspective though. And I know it's kind of hard to do that, but I think it would be more useful to have the leeway to come up with solutions to fit that those policies, rather than to be directed by council as to what actual components are going to be included in the plan. Does that make sense?
To clarify, are you saying that you would like us to stipulate you need to make a 6-month checklist, essentially rolling over the tasks in order for how you're going to do it, but we're not going to stipulate to you how that is ordered? You will decide the order.
That's a great way to put it. Okay. Yeah.
When you were talking about it, that was my assumption of what you were expecting, is that you're going to slowly hand over the tasks you do each day until on your final 2 weeks, you're going, well, I'm going to spin in my chair for a while. You let me know how it goes.
So do you have, I'm sure you do, but a list of all those components already made out that would be included with that policy? And to my understanding, we don't have a policy right now, correct? For the succession, you didn't have one when you came on, or did you?
No, it was all pretty much, I spent about 6 months with the person who had the job before, and kind of learned the ropes that way. A lot of it was documented, but there was a lot that wasn't, so I think we can do a lot better job.
I think that sometimes where that documentation, the process and the policy kind of sometimes, combine, because if somebody steps in for whatever reason, let's say Woody gets in and 3 months later, he's not able to, but he just did the 6-month training. Is there something that somebody can step in there and see what all those components are and how to do the components with, or referencing for him even? So, yeah. Yeah. I know that sounds like a definitely good motion forward.
So there really isn't a policy right now to have one, to have a plan. But I guess what I would like to do is kind of check in with Charlie and with Nikki and see if they are, firstly, if they're going to be including that as an overall part of the policy for all departments, which I kind of think they are. I haven't seen the document yet. I know that that Charlie is very policy driven. So I think we're going to see a lot more better documentation of policy as well. If he does have that in there, then I will kind of frame my succession plan based on that policy.
Okay.
Any other questions about succession plan?
I think we're good.
Okay, the next one is the 5-year technology strategic plan. And again, there's currently no policy for that, but we do need one. And this would be a great opportunity to kind of provide feedback on like how often you want that policy updated, what, if any, major components you want within that policy, and then the actual plan. What I would propose is we've got a technology advisory group already in place that includes a lot of folks from different departments that are pretty technologically savvy. And that group might be a really good place to start on creating that 5-year plan. Take a look here.
So Bill, do you think this is something that we could help structure and send to the advisory group and get feedback and have it come back to this committee, and we can work kind of in tandem together to develop that 5-year plan? And then what would your recommendation be for how often we should review once we've completed the plan?
The TAG group meets quarterly. So I would think that it would make sense to for us to meet after that meeting.
Okay.
And go over it then. I can kind of put the structure together and include that in the our next meeting. I think is March 17th, and I'll talk about that more a little bit later in the agenda. I've really found it to be helpful. I mean, I've worked at places in the past that are kind of where technology is driven by the IT department. The needs of the other departments, and you do need to find a balance there. Otherwise, you can end up with some really great technology implemented, but nobody uses it, or it's too cumbersome, or it doesn't meet all their needs.
Are they using all the same technology right now? Are we using 365 per se, and everybody's communicating on Teams? Or are we using like NetSuite or Salesforce and 365, or you know what I mean? Is it a network?
Everyone is brand new on Microsoft 365 and Teams. So we just transitioned to new, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in our item number 7.
Cool. But would that be part of the strategic plan as far as like the components and current policy? Is that like, here's the type of software that we project us utilizing and mainly using over the next 5 years? And it does seem like, you know, technology, and especially IT, is an integral part of business and the running of the city, more so now than ever. Because it's especially like digital signatures, communication through Teams, communication through meetings, Zoom we use right now, but we could be doing it on Teams. But all that ability right now is critical to the doing of our jobs. And yeah, it does make sense for all the divisions to be able to utilize that. I think like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, maybe technology or IT was more about like, here, help me with software, help me with email, where now it's like, it's the foundation of what causes
it's, it's communication. Yeah. The, it's funny you mentioned the e-documents, the e-signatures. We just implemented that DocuSign and signed my first test document today that Debbie sent out. And so I think that's going to work really well.
Sweet. That's great to hear.
So let's see. I had a couple more notes on that, on the 5-year. Um, Yeah, I think what I wanted to just kind of point out was some of the guidance that I'll be using is very similar to what I found on this Moss Adams blog and another blog from the Resolute Technology. I included both of those in the packet in the email that I sent to you. I'm going to be posting these as lay materials. But basically, you know, following some of these guidelines, I think is going to be help create a plan that is a little more, a little less government, and a little more focused on an organization that can be a little more nimble. But the first step, this steering committee, that's, you know, we've got that technology advisory group built in there. So I think that's going to work out really well. And as far as the policy goes, since there isn't one, I'd like to propose starting to create that and have you guys review that policy. I would probably use a similar framework to, let's see, I think they've got, I'm gonna have to move this so I can see it. This is the problem with Zoom and having a small screen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, basically a template similar to this one that this is our current security awareness training and testing policy. And so I would use a similar format as this and present that to you guys at the next meeting for review. I could even email the policy along the way, and we can probably review before the next meeting and come up with something that's a little more solid.
Okay.
Sound like a good approach.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good start to just get a draft going, something that we could communicate on and give feedback on. I think something that might be really helpful as part of the policy too is to help define, you know, over the 5-year period, what types of resources we can help go to the council and get the funding for. You know, if we're looking at a 5-year stretch, that gives us a good plan of, okay, these are the years we can look at investing in this versus, you know, that's coming in the next couple years. I think having a policy that can help define and prioritize for the growth of the city would be really helpful.
If so the policy would be basically a requirement that the plan include a budget component, maybe a FTE component, resources like that. That makes sense.
Would we be able to see a hierarchy or a tree of like, okay, here's IT and the divisions that will support, because you got waste management, we have finance, we have planning, and does any of those communicate with each other under that IT? So that would be cool to make sure that we don't like one department, maybe finance, wants to use an entirely separate software that isn't compatible. And we can say, okay, within that policy, we have to know that the softwares can communicate across the board or something.
So yeah, compatibility component.
So Bill, do you see any large expenses coming up in the next 5 years? Are you needing new servers? I don't know if you have them in-house or if you start a data bank. Not sure what else it is.
We do have some, and actually we include that in our annual and biannual budget to cover those. The hardware that we use is not expensive because we don't do a lot. We try to use software as a service when it makes sense. And you'll notice we've got our cemetery management system. That's going to be coming online hopefully by the end of this month. If you do the training, you know, we've got iWorks, we've got our email is hosted by Microsoft. All of those things make it so that it's a lot more manageable for us budget-wise to manage a subscription-based system like that than it is to plan on replacing an Exchange server every 5 years or, you know, whenever that would be. I hope that makes sense to you guys as council members too.
Yeah,
it is definitely. What about training and time off for that training? Is that absorbed within that specific division or that department? So if planning is you know, in the 5-year plan, going to utilize this software, or they're bringing people to utilize that software, is that something that they budget for as far as training or adoption? Okay, so that's not even related to, nice.
Any other questions or comments about the 5-year technology strategic plan policy or plan itself?
I shout out those suggestions. I don't know if it would fall under the strategic plan. And I know that it kind of got pulled from the agenda and more like just out to the general department to say, what do you guys think about this? But would that be something that would fall under the strategic plan or somewhere else as far as having an interactive website that allows, I think, drawing the community in to play around on the website by clicking and touching and moving and expanding in our touchscreen environment. Might be fun for them. I don't know if that's on.
I did. That was a great suggestion, and I did forward that just as a suggestion, not a directive, to the appropriate departments. And the feedback I got was really positive. So I think, you know, folks want to do that. So you'll probably see that happening here within the next month or so.
That's awesome.
As far as including that in a in our scope as the technology committee, you would say my understanding of the approach that Charlie and I discussed was the policy would be to create technologies that encourage citizen involvement or engagement. You know, it's a more broad, generalized, and then we can come up with ways to do that.
That makes a lot. Yeah, because this is more generating a policy of the breakdown, the sections and subsections for a document that's on file for the public to see, read, be exposed to, not so much on building of that enterprise or that technology. That makes a lot more sense. Okay.
And those policies will all be driven on what your goals and mission are as a council. So keep that in mind. Try to tie those goals in the policy in with what your goals are. Anything else on that one?
I think I'm good.
Let's move on to security assessments then. And currently, we have every 3 years a security audit from our criminal justice information system that keeps us compliant. But we don't actually have a policy in place that governs security assessments. We don't actually have any, let's see, is it now here? I'm gonna pull up my notes. Yeah, we don't really have anything that includes a third-party vulnerability scan. I think we really need to have that. We looked at a couple of different options in the past. Right after I hired, I think it was right after I hired Glenn. And unfortunately, it seemed like the companies that were doing the audits were more interested in selling us the product. So I'd like to maybe explore some other alternatives to that, maybe a school or a someone who doesn't have any incentive to skew the data in such a way that well, gosh, that's a perfect fit for the product we're selling.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You probably get that a lot.
Oh, yeah. So, Bill, this idea kind of came up when I was going through the financial audit on the finance committee, and there was a brief mention of cybersecurity, and I looked into the Washington State Auditor's Office, and they have a bill that was passed that allows the state auditor to do cybersecurity audits for local governments at zero cost. Is that something that we've ever looked at doing for CJOE?
No. In fact, I wasn't aware of that. Knew that they were expanding some of their more procedural audit component as opposed to the financial audit. But that might make sense because they really don't have anything to sell us. So.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think as far as the policy goes, I know for like other governmental agencies, every year is the typical requirement. So I think for as policy goes, if it's not every year, maybe every other year that we have a policy to do either with the state auditor or with another, third-party contractor. The state auditor is a free service, so it's not something that we have to go and get money for to do.
I like that.
And I think it would really help us with our security posture. The other option, and we use this a little bit, and I don't want to get too much into the weeds on how to do the job, but I know some services that have been really successful for us that do continuous monitoring, that if we want to do something like that on the side that does cost a little money, I think that could be written into the policy as well, that we have a certain amount that's, a passive scanning that's a continuous that kicks reports out to us. So when a new vulnerability does come out, we're notified on a shorter time frame, but then every year or two, we get a dedicated team to come in from either the state auditor or somewhere to just assess to make sure that, we got all the protections. Do you think that
makes sense? Those are good, good things to consider. I'd like to go ahead and start putting together a policy for that as well and work with you to get that, in an acceptable format for the subcommittee here, and then bring that to the full council.
Okay. Yeah, I would think kind of like we were talking about technology nowadays being the main foundation to all of our infrastructure, whereas in 20 years ago, wasn't it? It's also our most vulnerable for security purposes, and it's the easiest way for an outside person to come right in without even being in the state or country. Yeah, just like you were saying on that. So
we've seen it happen, you know, with our neighbors in Burlington and elsewhere. So it's not like we're just because we're a few miles off the I-5 corridor that we're out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Anything else on security assessment policy?
If we do the audits and we have the, you know, passive inspecting or whatnot, are we, is in the policy, is there a certain level of criteria that we should have as our security network system to protect against? Or is there something that should be in the policy that says you have to have a minimum of this in order for protection of it? Is that, I don't even know if that would be something that we would need.
That's probably more in the plan than the policy.
Okay. Then I don't have anything else.
Joe?
But you're on mute.
I think you're mute, bud.
I don't think so. I didn't want you guys to have to listen to the kids' show that my son's listening to. Most of my questions are probably more into the weeds than necessary. I mean, with that security audits, like when was the last security audit done? What's your current time frame that you do this?
Well, the last CGIS audit we had was 2 years ago. So I think we have another one coming up in either late 2022 or early 2023.
And you have, I might've missed this earlier. You do have some way of telling whenever a vulnerability comes up with one of the software components that you're using, right?
We do monitor the firewall and server logs, but you know, it's a moving target. Mm-hmm. So I think it would really help to have that third-party vulnerability test as well.
I guess what I'm asking is there any kind of a service, kind of like the vulnerability test, where they actually just keep you up to date on things that you might want to change? Like, hey, you know, cities are starting to get hacked through this back door that was not previously an option to hackers. So now if you change this and this, you'll cover yourself. Is that something that exists?
We subscribe to a lot of services for that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. No, that's it for me then. Thank you.
Anything else on item 6?
Looking good.
So let's see, that was 6. Item 7 is the Microsoft Enterprise Agreement. And let's zoom in here a little bit. So this is what, let's see, that's totally the other one. So these are the licenses for Microsoft 365, and kind of where we're headed is a hybrid system where right now we've got two separate domains, and I don't want to get too technical, but it's not perfect. I'd like to move towards a hybrid system so that we can synchronize those and don't have two separate lists of accounts for everybody to maintain. But the good thing about having them separate is there have been, and I don't know if you've been kind of following the news, mostly in late last year with Microsoft Exchange accounts getting hacked. and for different organizations. And one nice thing about having them separate is if your email gets hacked, your LAN domain doesn't get hacked. So they may be able to send emails as you, but they don't have access to your files. But it makes it a lot harder to manage. And so eventually I'd like to get those on a hybrid system so that we can handle them together. You were talking about having everyone on Microsoft Teams, but we've got most everybody on this Microsoft 365 plan here. We've got about, I think, it was like 82 out of 87 licenses. We pay for those licenses annually through our enterprise agreement. These two, this Exchange Online plan and this Visio plan, are both outside of that enterprise agreement. These are just ones that we can throw, like volunteer firefighters who just need email, and that's it. We'll throw them on there. And that's why you only see about 19 on there. And Visio, same thing. We only have a handful of users that really want to use Visio. That's an add-on. As far as the actual EA goes, this is what we're looking at with that. So you see the dollar amounts look big because they're looking at the whole 3-year plan here. So about 26 grand a year for our licensing through Microsoft. And that includes Office, that includes our client access licenses for Windows Server, that includes the server licenses, and of course, the Microsoft 365.
Bill, are you handling, I know it's outside of the scope, but is IT handling any of the software for the engineers? Are we using SolidWorks or something like that for our engineering department, or for Mark or John to be able to do their job? And is that handled through IT, or is that under their department licensing and you guys might provide some support if they go down or something?
We do have some, help them manage their licensing for GIS, for CAD, the installations and the maintaining those systems and the hardware that they're installed on. But as far as any, like StruCalc, or I'm not sure what other engineering applications they might use, they purchase it a one-off here and there, and we install it for them and help them where necessary. But there's not a lot of that.
Okay.
Wastewater treatment plants, probably the biggest user of what we would call proprietary software like that. And they generally contract the installation and maintenance with that software.
Cool. I was just curious, on the 365, are you guys using the two-step verification?
Yes, we are. So you should have you started using that just with the Exchange Online licensing. So you should have gotten a notice when you first set yours up to authenticate with your cell phone.
Ah, you know what? Woody did call me and get a code. That's right.
There you go. Yep. Or at least you think it was Woody.
Well, it sure sounded like yep.
Hey, Bill, I just had a quick question on this one. Are the 4 server licenses on-prem that we pay, or are those in Azure?
Those are on-prem.
Okay. Is there any, as part of like the 5-year plan, any movement you think towards hosting on Azure versus on-prem?
That's what I would like to see. Yeah. Of course, you know, I think that each person has their own thoughts about that. But now with the availability of high speed and dependable access to the internet, your access to that, to those resources, it's a lot more doable.
Gotcha.
You know, the internet goes down and it can be a big buzzkill.
Yeah.
Anything else on that topic?
Nope. I think I'm good.
Let's go back to the agenda here. See where we're at. Okay, that brings us to the technology advisory group. And we kind of touched on that a little bit. I included, let's see, the staff memo that kind of created the group. This was something that Doug and I developed. And before this, it was basically me dealing with individual departments on their specific initiatives. And what we found is that by doing the team approach like this, we get a lot better feedback from people who are kind of forced to think outside of the box because they don't work in that particular area, and it's like, hey, you can look at it with a whole different set of eyes and come up with some pretty good suggestions to help us fine-tune things. Yeah. That group meets quarterly, and I did the last agenda from the last meeting we had. We don't have the agenda put together for meeting in March yet, but these are the committee member, the group members. A lot of really good folks on there, a lot of great feedback, and these are some of the projects that the group is helps kind of monitor and share information. Sims cemetery management software, that's the one that's almost completed and should be live by the end of this month. I work permit, I believe that was delayed, and Michelle and John are still working on that one with the iWorks folks. Electronic timesheet system, that one's been completed, and everyone except for the fire department uses that system. The fire department has their own system that they use, but it ties in pretty well. And this accounts payable processing system went live in January, and we've all been using it. That's been great. The camping campground reservation system went live at the beginning of the year, and I think feedback's been pretty good on that one. Have you guys received much feedback as council members?
Not yet.
I haven't heard it yet.
There was something in the paper, I think it was today, saying that that system was up and running.
Mm-hmm. I used, that's fairly new, but I used the system last year, the other system. It seemed relatively, you know, I like it. I'll have to check out this one.
Mm-hmm. And here's some other things that are on the agenda too. The council chambers phase to be upgraded, which I I saved for the last item here, so I knew we'd get some good feedback from you guys for that. Now on that, I do want some real solid non-policy feedback, because you guys are the customers. You guys are the ones using that. And we'll be there in just a minute. But there's the Bitwarden password management system that Woody is that leading. And we're going to be also upgrading the AV system in Skagit conference room as well.
So, Bill, I just had a quick question on the, if you go up a little bit.
Sure.
All the software that the different departments are kind of working on and purchasing and implementing, do we have like a point of contact page on the inside that if somebody has a question about, say, like ClearGov, that they can go to Debbie for questions, or do they come to you? What's kind of the policy behind that?
I don't think there's a policy. There are the ones that are a software as a service, they do have a lead, and that's the person that's listed here. And we just know to go to that person. If I have a question about iWork, you know, I'm going to go to Michelle. If I have a question about Sims, I'm actually going to go to Serena. It's not listed here, but she's as our deputy clerk, is going to be the point of contact for that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great group. We're going to meet again in March, I believe on the 17th, and hopefully I'll have some things to put based on the outcomes of this meeting. I'll have some things to present to them there.
Okay.
Let's see, item 10 was the city website and social media. And I just wanted to make sure that you guys were aware of what our presence, our social media presence is. Each of these accounts are, the policy is that they have to be pre-approved before they can get one. That policy that I generated, I believe that's one that Aaron, and I tried to find it before this meeting, but not able to. But I'll find that policy. If it's not, I know it needs to be updated. And I think it's probably something that needs to be part of the global policy that Nikki and Charlie are working on. We've got our Facebook page, we've got the city LinkedIn page, we've got the YouTube channel that is only for posting our videos that are linked from our website. We've got the police department's page and our Instagram page as well. And that's pretty much it. And all of those things are archived through our Smarsh archiving platform. So our email, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, we don't have any Twitter accounts. I don't know that we will. It's because right now the administration really doesn't support Twitter. All of our Verizon text messaging is archived through this. It's a really handy tool for me and for, you know, finding information and for discovery, for answering public records requests, which we do through our GovQA application, which is a software as a service as well. You guys looked at the GovQA system?
No.
That's basically our public records request system. If you go to our website, I'll go ahead and share that here just so you can see it. There we go. Let's see my browser. Hi. So this is our portal for records requests. Can you see that on your end now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the nice thing about this is it catches people before they make the request in a couple of ways, so they can find answers right away by clicking on here. It for any of the previous requests that have been made that found records and those documents were made public, then those are easily searchable here and found and downloaded. And then they can go ahead and make a request by clicking on this. And as they're typing in the information we get a lot of public safety requests here from attorneys, from individuals involved in like traffic incidents and stuff like that. And the municipal court records, they've got their own special system. And the general ones here is where they enter their information here to create an account. And then when they start filling in their request, as they're typing, the system, you know, looks for keywords in their request and will pop up, hey, maybe you're looking for this. So it's really helpful and kind of changing some of those potential requests into you know, answers that the user has readily available to them.
Well, that's fantastic. That probably saves the staff a lot of time.
It does, and I do know that on a regular basis, the police department, police records staff, they probably do about, I don't know, 10 of those a day. Sometimes more. They do a fantastic job.
Is there a way for you on like the admin side to see like reporting wise, like, are we seeing an increase per year, decrease?
It's got a great system for generating those reports.
Okay. Because that could be helpful for like staffing too. If, you know, the police are getting really burdened by that, we would have a statistic to back it up saying, you know, this is the chart over a 6-month period. This is how many more we're getting.
Any other comments on the item number 10 for city website and social media? Okay, let's move on to the last one. That's the council chambers AV upgrade. Yes, you know, what I'm interested in finding out from you guys is, like, you know, what's working well for you to start with? What things are working well? I know that we've been in a Zoom only or hybrid mode for so long, it might be hard to remember what was working well when we were just meeting in person. But we have used it in hybrid mode a few times. I know there are some items that don't work so well. What are some things you like about the system?
I did like the opportunity for, having that Zoom for people who didn't want to come in, not just having to have, I actually like the hybrid if people wanted to be at home and they don't want to come in, they have that ability. And then being able to have access to, like, if people want to do presentations such as the Friendship House, or, you know, I know of people who have asked to come in and talk about the river and salmon and the way that, you know, that run it can be protected or things like that. And they might have a slideshow. So having that ability has been nice. I think it gives that visual. I would almost suggest a bigger monitor.
Yeah,
I really like the big screen. I thought that it'd be great if there was a monitor somewhere in the front to the side of the council so that the people aren't doing this in their chairs to look at everything. The council doesn't really have much of a choice just because of the way the room's set up. But yeah, that was the only thing that I think really caught my attention when I went in after you guys had done some changes was having the monitors on the screen. That is fantastic for presentations.
Yeah, Bill, I would second that too. Like when we went from just the in-person to the hybrid, being able to see people on Zoom on those screens was really nice. And I feel like it gives people that don't want to come that opportunity to still be seen and heard. I really like that option. And when we're in the area, I can hear everyone really well, but I know like some people, and it might be the masks, I don't know, could have a hard time hearing us on Zoom. I don't know if that was part of Zoom or if that was where that problem was.
That's part of it. Part of it's the mask. Part of it is what the masks do to the microphone's ability to pick up the voice. So that will get better. But, you know, until then, you know, if we still, up until next month anyway, if we still have to wear masks, it's really important to bring that microphone as close as possible and speak directly into it.
Yeah. I do like Joe's idea of having a monitor near the front, just because I remember being in those seats and looking over and it was like, you are doing this whole another action. It's like everybody's whoop, you know, and then sitting on the side for a long video can be a little difficult. So yeah,
if we could have something that's kind of hanging down from the ceiling,
yeah,
somehow that's angled in such a way that it's viewable from out in the audience, but doesn't block the view of the people who are sitting up at the dais, then I think we can do that. I would like to look into not using a digital projector and actually using a real screen. Projector, even with the really high lumen ones, it's just real hard to see when the lights are on. And I think that a standard LED display is going to make more sense there. The prices have just really come down, even with the inflation that I've had recently. Now, whether we can get the kind of the stuff in the time we may, that's a different story right now with supply chain. But one other thing that I, you know, is talking about display, is we'd like to get at each of your stations where you sit a display, a small display, maybe, you know, inches, something like that, where you can see what's being presented. Sometimes it's even hard to see up on the screen there, even if it is on the side close to you. It would just be nice to be, that's the nice thing about Zoom is when you're participating in the Zoom meeting, you can, you know, pinch the screen and blow that thing up, make it zoom in. It's a lot easier to see what the person on the other end is presenting. So that in combination with some way to actually get a camera on each person who's speaking in the council, that's another thing that I would like to do. Microphone, we don't have to worry about that because if your microphone's on, it picks you up. But there may be a way that we can set up an automated way for it to tell who is speaking and turn that, change that camera to that person. Or it might be something that's actually button activated where the user would have to press a button to be heard and to be have the camera display them. But I'm no AV guy, and neither is Woody. So that's something that we would probably bring in some outside help and have them just give us some proposals on what we can do to kind of meet those needs. What about the audio in the room? Do you feel like you all can hear what's going on? I know Brendan said that he said felt like you could hear what was going on in the room. What about when people are speaking up at the podium?
Yeah, I think I can hear them pretty clearly.
Mm-hmm. That's a four-channel system in there. So there's a separate channel for the staff microphones over on the side, a channel for the mayor and all of you, a channel for the either the citizen who's speaking or the defense attorney or prosecuting attorney in the court system. And then the fourth channel is whatever's being displayed on the being presented. So that could be a laptop at one of those stations or the rack mounted system that we have. What I'm hearing is that the audio we can probably leave as is and focus on those video components for phase three.
I think that would be my number one priority, would be the video components.
Okay, we'll work on that. I know budget constraints this year are going to be pretty tight, but it won't hurt to get the information and have it. You know, make decisions if we don't have the information.
I agree. You said there was an AV up in the conference room as well that would need to be looked at?
Yeah, and that's going to be a different setup. That'll be more of, that's a little easier to do because it's such a small room. And we're probably doing something similar to an OWL setup. I don't know if you're familiar with those.
I was just going to recommend one of those.
Yeah.
Kind of pretty. They'll wake up and look right at you and you're like, well.
Yeah. It's kind of creepy.
They do look pretty funny. Bill, do we see a lot of people watching the YouTube after the fact? Like, I know we post them on YouTube, the whole videos. Do we see a lot of people actually watching those, or is it pretty minimal?
It can be pretty high. Yeah, there's especially if there's something like, controversial that's occurring, Curry project was a really big one. That was probably, you know, a lot of pitchforks and torches too. But a lot of people watched that, the recordings of those meetings. I can get you some metrics on that too, if you're interested.
Yeah, I think that'd be helpful, especially when we go back to in person. Because I think it'd be nice, like on Zoom, your face is immediately like the big screen for everybody. But I think when we're all in person, I think the cameras are pretty zoomed out, right? So you can see the people, but it would be nice that when somebody's talking, that the feed would show the person's face and talking.
I actually watched a lot of those coming up to the election, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're helpful. And I even watched the one today that was posted for the finance, Brendan, that you had. So yeah, it's just helpful for general information, the planning commission on Tuesday. And that's just, you know, it's just helpful to have those. So the Zoom does have that advantage, because when people are talking, it's like boom, boom. And it's a lot more, than the older ones. The older ones are a little.
I'll be honest, when I watch them, I'm only listening to them, because I'll put in headphones at work and I'll set it to play and set my cell phone down. But the audio quality has been a lot better since you guys upgraded the system a bit, because I noticed when I went back and referenced an older meeting from a couple of years ago, there was a noticeable difference in quality of audio.
Ooh, you should have looked at the video. It was really bad.
Oh, no, yeah. They were terrible on the little cell phone, because I would look at it when I first get it started. It looked like someone was using their home webcam from 1999. Like it was definitely low quality.
There was a limitation with the one of the pieces of equipment in the rack that we couldn't do any higher definition than, like, I think it was 480 by 820 or something like that. I can't remember what the resolution was, but it was really low.
Yeah.
And so this Pro 2 system we have is a big improvement. We even had the PUD come by and take a look at our system. They're building a new conference room in their new facility, and are looking at different options. You know, they've been other places too, but I kind of played up the benefits of the Pro 2 system. It's easy just for anybody who's not an AV person to manage. That's the nice thing about it.
Yeah. That's good.
Any other items? Any other comments about the council AV upgrade?
I think that's all I have. Nice work on the getting it upgraded.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the last item we've got is kind of determine the date for the next meeting. You guys want to try to get together after the next technology advisory group meeting? So that's towards the middle to late March. So we could maybe meet in April sometime.
Yeah, April works.
Okay, I'll look at the calendar and kind of just reach out to each of you to find a good date and time. Does 5:30 on a Thursday seem like a good time?
Yeah, that works for me.
That works for me.
Yeah, I can make it work. I might be a little late, but I can make it work.
It's my one night a week to eat out, and I go to our local Thai restaurant here in O'Connor. So they're probably waiting on me down there right now.
They're going to stay open until you get there.
Yeah. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, let's go ahead and adjourn. And I sure appreciate you guys. This has been a long time coming.
Yep. Thank you too, Bill, for all you do. Yep.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Well, guys.